be like, click here to end.
Warning. Or like cat lovers only, click here. But I'm not even worried about a skeleton. Like a
skeleton. I think you should be worried about skeletons. But the virus could, in fact, help preserve them more, longer.
Now that's impossible.
When did you become a ninja where you can just climb anything?
Maybe I would try to launch a couple chairs at the tiger.
There's a lot. Look, I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm a great writer here, but look.
You don't see me going up into the Himalayan mountains and trying to pretend I'm a Yeti, man. That's just not going to happen.
And that's probably a wrong fact, but I think that's true.
So I got a story.
Okay.
It's not a story. It's a story from the past.
Right. Okay. All right. So are you talking about a story that you wrote or wrote?
No, it's a story you wrote.
A story I wrote. Okay. We've already had a story that I wrote before.
Yeah. But the story you wrote before, just to remind me what that was. It was a murder mystery. Murder mystery. Yeah. It's a murder mystery. This is in the same vein, actually.
So the one I wrote, I think it was called Murder at Huff Mountain or Huff Mansion. Okay. That one I wrote in like fourth grade or something.
Yeah, and it had such gems as the car went down the hill, traveled for a mile, whereupon they arrived at a large mansion surrounded by a large fence and gate. Looks spooky, Sam. Let's see if they can just fix the car. Detective Sam and his wife knocked on the door. A dark-haired man with deep-set brown eyes greeted them. Hello. I was wondering if... I don't need any cooking knives. That's the kind of dialogue we have at this.
I was very descriptive.
Well, it's also, you're not saying who said any of these things. So it's
the
like,
reader's supposed to know.
Well, I guess so. But lucky for us, the next one has very few lines of dialogue in it. So.
Oh, okay. So all right. Now, can you tell me when this one was written?
I don't know. Maybe you'll probably be better at telling me when this was written.
Mm.
It's kind of like a spooky. It's London. Rainy,
oh, okay.
Cobblestone streets.
I think I remember writing a story like this, but I mean, I've been surprised before. So after the first couple sentences, I'll know which one it is.
Okay. So let's go. I mean, let's just go for it. This is story time. Story time on the Shotcast.
From young Brian.
Young Brian, circa seventh grade?
Who knows? We'll find out.
Here we go. The heat of the fire can give me no warmth this dark night. It only adds eerie shadows on the surrounding walls. The orange glow is the only light in the house as I wait for the dawning of the new day. The clock.
I like that.
Yeah,
so far so good. I like that.
So far so good. It's the orange glow is the only light in the house. I love it.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, it's improved. It's markedly improved.
Oh, from the Huff Manor? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, the opening to Huff Manor. I told you this would happen. I told you, but you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't stop. Now you'll learn the hard way. A shadowy figure picked up a concealed gun hidden in his shirt, raised it, paused to consider, and then shot. That's not too bad either. It just goes downhill from there. That's all you got.
I'll get you involved.
So the problem is, where is this going to go?
Right.
that's my fear.
Any indication, it's going to go south pretty fast.
Right. Well, let's see. Let's take a look. The orange glow is the only light in the house as I waited for the dawning of the new day. The clock has just struck 11. The chimes ring through the empty mansion, steadily, one after another. You like these mansions. it seems.
I have a thing about like mansions, like spooky stories. It's always been my thing, like mystery, like things. It's always been my MO, man. And by the way, I don't think I remember this story at all.
Oh, okay. Maybe I wrote it. I don't think I wrote it. I think you wrote this. They seemed low and hollow. One more hour until midnight, then he will be here. He's capitalized. Oh, please let him be gone. The thought of him sends a chill up my back. It's the same chill that I got when we first met, when I shook his hand. How cold and lifeless it felt. It had been 2 weeks past since I met him on that gloomy Friday.
All right, I didn't write this.
Maybe I wrote
this
it.
This is not ringing any bell to me at all.
I might have written this.
It actually it sounds almost like, I mean, it sounds pretty good. Like,
yeah. So if it sounds good, it must be me.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, this doesn't sound like me, man. This sounds like you're. I mean, I feel like we have a similar voice, but and that fireplace scene seems to like be something I would write, but
right.
I don't. This is not ringing a bell.
All right, maybe I'm just continuing.
Let's keep going. We'll see what happens. I'm intrigued.
Is definitely different, but I don't.
I'm intrigued.
Okay, here we go. I mean, I can kind of remember that I could have. I could have written this. I just don't remember it at all. As it was, I mean, because I was in the same. I liked the same stuff as you. I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like I was into that London spookiness.
Yeah.
Okay. It was raining as I walked down the cobblestone streets of London. The stores had just closed for the day, all but one. It was a dark-looking antique shop. Shop is spelled with an E, by the way.
Right, because it's London.
Right. I didn't have to arrive home right away, so I thought I might have a look around. If only I had known. Shaking off the rain, I closed my wet umbrella and stepped in. Suddenly, a gold gust of air blew in.
A gold or a cold?
Let me just read this again. This is a cold read is what's happening.
Okay, all right. It's a cold read. I'm trying to verify it.
Suddenly, a cold gust of air blew in opening. Oh, here, I'm sorry. Let me just read this properly.
This is a complicated, awkward sentence.
I mean, if I wrote it, it was seventh grade. Give me a break.
But we're not sure. It may be me.
It could have been you, which explains the awkwardness. Suddenly, a cold gust of air blew in, opening my umbrella. Ordinarily, I would have shrugged it off. But now, the old superstition of opening an umbrella in a building came to my mind as a bad omen. Mm. I was into superstitions. I might have like...
This is not me.
Okay. Shaking, I closed my umbrella again to look around the dreary store. A tall, mysterious man came up to me, holding a black cat, obviously.
Oh. Yeah, he's mysterious.
The man's hair was as dark as night, and his eyes, set deep into his skull, were only a little lighter. Not bad.
That's fine. You know, the deep skull, you know, the Huff Manor that I wrote?
Yeah.
That had a guy with the deep set eyes.
You had a dark-haired man.
I thought it had deep set eyes. At Huff Manor. The guy who opened the door.
It doesn't say anything about deep set eyes.
Oh, okay. All right.
You said, oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It did. A dark-haired man with deep-set brown eyes.
So different. It's a different guy. I don't want the listeners to be confused. They're two different guys. The guy at Huff Manor is one guy. The other guy, the shoppy is this other guy.
Still had deep-set eyes. I mean, more than one person can have deep-set eyes.
Well, I'm just saying. It's coincidence. I don't know.
Well, let me go on. Because I describe... If this is me, you describe, that's the end of the description. Deep set brown eyes, dark hair.
Right.
That's your, right. This is my description of somebody. The man's hair was as dark as night and his eyes, set deep into his skull, were only a little lighter. His pointed goatee had a hint of red in it. Long fingers petted the cat slowly, but the animal did not purr. A sinister smile appeared on the shopkeeper's narrow face. It seemed to mock me. I should have left right then, but something caught my eye. It was small. Oh, sorry. I turned the page.
I think it's Pet the Cat, too. I don't think it's Petted the Cat. I think it's Pet the Cat. He pet the cat.
Yeah, no. It's Sinister Smile. Long Fingers Pet. It should be Pet. It's Petted here. But you're right.
By the way, what font is this? Is it like a standard font or is it a crazy font?
It's not crazy. It's standard but big.
Okay. Okay. All right. Never mind.
It was a small bracelet. I thought I had seen it before. I was right. I realize now. It was the gold bracelet I gave her. Her capitalized.
This is intriguing.
Were you going to say something?
I'm totally intrigued. This is something, I did not write this. This is the first time I think I'm hearing this story.
Okay, here we go. I'm just glancing at it now. It's interesting. Yeah. I'm assuming sixth grade. Because in seventh grade, I wrote about the pirate. And then in eighth grade, I don't think I really wrote. If after that, you weren't really creative writing.
You didn't write creatively.
So
maybe
I feel like this had to be
grade.
Sixth grade.
Sixth or seventh, okay.
But not seventh. Seventh was not creative writing because the only creative writing I did was the pirate story.
Okay.
Here we go.
Sixth grade.
Which is interesting. This is the sixth grade I wrote this. I kept saying I would divorce my wife. I gave her the bracelet as that promise. Which is weird.
Wait, the promise that
you're
going to
divorce
her? Why
would you give her a bracelet to your divorcer? That's what I'm saying, sixth grade.
Sense. Okay.
I kept saying I would divorce my wife. I gave her the bracelet as that promise. One cold, dark night, I came home from work, and my wife met me at the front door. You will never see her again. Oh.
Well, you seem to get it. I don't get it.
I just got it. Okay, you think capital her, right?
Right.
I kept saying I would divorce my wife. I gave her the bracelet as that
her
promise.
Other woman.
The other woman.
Okay.
Sixth grade, I'm writing about another woman.
This doesn't seem like a sixth grader.
This is coming through as sixth grade.
This might be eighth grade.
It's not eighth grade. Who did we have in eighth grade?
I had Mrs. I don't know who I had in eighth grade.
Yeah, I don't either. Maybe, because obviously I don't remember writing this.
This is deep for like a sixth grader.
Here we go. Well, maybe. I kept saying I would divorce my wife. I gave her the bracelet as that promise. One cold, dark night, I came home from work, and my wife met me at the front door. You will never see her again. I've taken care of that, my wife said in a low voice. See for yourself. She took me to the backyard. There was a ditch, and in it was her body.
Oh my gosh.
Blank eyes stared at the cloudy evening sky. The white dress was stained dark red near the heart. On her slender wrist was my gift, the gold bracelet. Tears swelled in my eyes.
Oh my gosh. What?
All right, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, hold on. Do you think you had to write this like as a spooky story? Or do you think
this
is just
saying.
Something?
I have no idea where this came from. I have no idea.
I mean, I feel like this is something you wouldn't just normally write. I feel like the assignment must have been like, hey, here's a spooky story. Like, write a spooky story.
Okay, let's just take a second. and relax. Sixth grade, we had Mrs. Cook? Cock?
Maybe. No.
Coach?
No, it was Mrs. Cuck.
Mrs. Cuck.
It was Mrs. Cuck that we had for sixth grade.
And you wrote Huff Mansion.
No, that was fourth grade.
Oh. That makes a lot of sense, actually. I thought you did sixth grade. I wrote...
That was fourth or third.
No.
It was fourth grade, then.
I wrote a detective story about a mouse. I remember that.
In what, sixth grade?
Yeah. In seventh grade, I had Mr. Paul. We already talked about it. I wrote a pirate story.
Right.
That was the only creative writing I did. Eighth grade, I do not remember.
I remember one of the people. I don't remember her name, but I remember either because she was part of the literary magazine. And I had stuff published in the literary magazine.
Oh, well.
I think it's because I was in her class. Like, the only people that had stuff published in the magazine was...
This should have been published. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm intrigued, man. Like, I'm wondering what's going on.
All right, here we go. On her wrist was my gift, the gold bracelet. Tears swelled in my eyes. I grabbed my wife's neck and wrapped my fingers around it. Using all my strength, I squeezed the breath out of her. Long fingernails scratched my face, but I kept strangulating. I did not stop until I saw the same blank stare in my wife's eyes. I took my spouse's lifeless body and threw it into the open pit. It started rain.
What issues were you trying to work out here, man, in sixth grade? Gosh.
I don't know, man. I must have, like, we watched a lot of, like, murder mysteries. I mean, this happened probably in some show.
Did you read? You didn't read, like, horror books or anything?
Not really.
This is, I mean,
I read fantasy.
I know, but I mean, goodness.
I took my spouse's lifeless body and threw it into the open pit. It started to rain. I worked feverishly, covering the two bodies. The lightning streaked across the sky and the thunder was deafening.
It's like The Burbs now. It's like a scene from The Burbs.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't stop until I had buried everything. Slowly, I walked back to the empty house and I wept, but not for my wife.
Oh, burn. I tell you what, like, is this coming back to you?
I mean, kind of. I think now it kind of is. Because once the twist happened, I was like, oh, now I realize what's happening.
Okay. That's not the only twist, though. There's another twist. I bet that this goes another direction.
We'll have to wait and see. That was many years ago, and I had only the faint recollection of that event when I saw the bracelet. I picked it up. The bracelet is not for sale, said the tall man in a deep voice that made my blood run cold. I must have it.
The Frogurt is also cursed.
What's that?
The Frogurt is also cursed.
I must have it, I said in a frenzied voice. Please, I'll do anything. The lightning flashed and the thunder boomed. All right, you may keep it for 13 days. If you do not return it on the 13th day, I will come for you. I signed a paper and shook his slim, bony hand to make the deal.
Why would you only want it for 13 days? Like, I don't...
He was friends. He was in frenzy toned. He had to have it.
Okay.
It brought back the memories of her. That's what he wanted.
Okay. He didn't question the fact that it was like, oh, he doesn't get it. It's the same bracelet. It just reminds him of the bracelet.
Right.
Okay.
He realized now.
As he's sitting at 11 o'clock in the mansion.
All right. You may keep it for 13 days. If you do not return it on the 13th day... First of all, you don't want to keep anything for 13. I mean,
as soon as you say 13, you should be like, it's all over. I'm out.
Right.
How about just 5? Just 5 days.
I signed a piece of paper and shook his slim, bony hand to make the deal complete. His hand! Exclamation point. It was cold to the touch, and I shivered with a sudden fear. I walked briskly home in the drenching rain, holding the bracelet tightly. Now, it is almost the last minute of the 13th day. As I sit in this chair, I can only think of her. That is my last thought as the bell strikes midnight. I hear footsteps echoing in the hall. The door slowly opens, and I see him. Walking across the floor, he grabs my hand, holding the bracelet. The cold of his hand overwhelms my body and burns the scars on my face that never healed. Come with me. The voice was grinding. Looking back across the floor, I saw this is the classic part. Looking across the floor, I saw burnt hoof marks where he had last stepped.
Of course, yeah.
Where are you taking me? I asked as he led me into the darkness.
That's pretty decent.
The end.
I'm not sure I totally get the dude's motivation. Like, why didn't he return it?
What do you mean?
Like, he could. Like, why didn't...
He didn't want to. It was a powerful. It was a powerful, like, thing.
Man, don't cheat on your wife. Apparently,
Obviously.
So that's what young Brady is all about.
That's what I'm saying. Or, I mean, yeah. That's the thing.
That's a decent story. It was like love.
It was basically like love can drive you to these crazy, mad places. That's what young Brady is thinking about.
I thought there'd be more of a twist. Like,
what do you mean? More of a twist? The devil came and took his soul away. You don't want to, that's not a twist. He comes in, he sees a bracelet from his mistress that he killed his wife over after she killed her.
Yeah, but right there, that's it. That's a twist. I mean, like, I want to see more. Like, at the end, I want to see more. I want to see something else.
What more could you possibly have in the story? I had the devil. You know the guy's I had bad. Murder.
You know the guy's bad. And from as soon as the guy walks into the door and he's petting a cat,
but you don't know how it's going to go down.
I wanted a little bit more. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad story. I just wanted a little bit more at the end.
This is the guy who wrote Huff Manor. That's all I'm saying.
Look, Huff Manor had a twist at the very end. He was like chopping up chicken or something.
Yeah, the twist was. See, your twists are like, haha, funny. Like it was just like innocent. Mine are deep, man.
It's not a twist. There's not
That's
a twist.
What I'm talking
you knew
about.
That. It's you saw that coming a mile away.
Oh, please.
I mean, you knew that. You knew it was coming.
Yeah, but it's the journey, man. It's the journey that takes you from A to B.
I think you should have explored more like the fact that he only realizes it. He only realizes it's the exact same bracelet at the very end.
He did, but I realize that now. That's a little gift I'm giving you.
It should have been engraved. Like at the end, he turns as the clock strikes. He twists it in his hand. He rubs off something or something. He finally sees the inscription that he put there.
That would have been nice. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, you gloss over. It's only like a sentence or two. Oh, I realize now it's the same bracelet.
That's only three pages of the story. The story is only three pages. I mean, come on.
That's why you need at the very end. The twist needs to be at the end,
right.
Not in the middle.
You're right. That would have been good.
Well, you know, geez.
Got to go back and rewrite it, obviously. I thought this was yours. Well, I didn't really read the whole thing. I just read the beginning of it because you had written a story similar.
I have a kind of similar deals, but we were told to write a scary story, and I wrote a scary story involving. Again, like a deal with the devil. Do you have that one?
That's what I thought this one was.
I don't remember what that was called. Not the Icy Hand.
The only one I have left is the Icy Hand.
You know what? I think you need to work on the title, too. I'm not a fan of the title, the Icy Hand.
That wasn't the Icy Hand. The Icy Hand is a totally different story.
So who's the icy hand you did not read?
No, I didn't read that one until I read it right then. The Icy Hand could be mine too. I thought the Icy Hand would be yours. The Icy Hand
what
is
was
very
the name
similar.
Of the story? What was the name of the story you just read?
It did not have a title.
Unentitled. Well, read the Icy Hand. How long is the Icy Hand?
It's like 1.5 pages. I'll read it real quick. Maybe this is. The Icy Hand.
It makes sense. Maybe this is like a sequel or something.
Maybe. I don't know. Many people say death only comes once, but I have seen him twice. See, this seems like it has a capital H. The other one had capital H's and for like hers and.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's a similarity between them already that this could be mine.
This could. Okay. I'm fine with that.
Many people say death comes only once, but I have seen him twice. My encounters with him have been brief and final. Never fully seeing his face, I cannot physically describe this dark man, only the mental aspects of him.
I didn't write this one.
I don't remember the other one either.
What's with you and death?
How's that thing? I don't know. There's a thing. The first time I felt him was when my wife died. Again, there we go.
Jeez, you got a lot of...
I don't know what's happening here. Okay. The first time I felt him was when my wife died. She was very sick, and I stayed by her side the whole horrible night. Just after midnight, I felt a rush of cold air. As I turned my head to see where the wind came from, I heard my wife exhale her final breath. Bending over, I felt a presence. Looking up, I saw a shadow begin to form. A cloaked figure stood in the middle of the bedroom. I tried to look underneath the hood, but I saw such a blackness. It was like looking into the depths of an empty grave. I don't even know what looking into the depths of an empty grave is coming from. I don't know either.
I was there at the same time.
But how could I even think about this stuff? I mean, I was what? I'm just eighth grade, maybe. Sixth grade, eighth grade, one of those.
I mean, you weren't goth at all. I mean, this
no.
This is not something that I would associate with your personality.
No, I was not like, I wasn't goth. I wasn't even like a bummed out, like depressed kid at all.
Yeah. This is weird. This is what I'm saying. This is, I find this crazy.
But this is it. I'm a craftsman. I'm a storyteller. I shape tales. That's what I can do.
You know what? And honestly, like if you're trying to be dramatic, right? I mean, like if you're trying to write a dramatic, like at that time, death seems to be like a pretty dramatic thing. You know, if you're trying,
I mean, this, if you're thinking about this, I mean, this stuff is like, what's the most dramatic thing I can like write about? Like what's the most dramatic thing that I, as a sixth grader, could think about? Like this is what we talk to our high school kids all about when they make films about like gangsters and like drug overdoses and like shooting people, right?
Right.
They have no experience with this stuff, but they're like, what's the most dramatic thing I could like do?
Right, well, it's the same thing. But in sixth grade, you don't have experience with like love lost and like the drama that goes on with like a relation, like a personal relationship with somebody.
I'm not writing about that. That's the thing. Like, I'm not writing
about
that.
Because you don't have experience. So you're writing, you think, hey, what could be the worst thing that could happen? You're not talking about love lost or anything like that. That's not something that is even in your mindset. You're talking about like death and dying.
Right. Okay. So I never saw such blackness. It was looking into the depths of an empty grave. I knew then death had come to my wife. He turned and faced her, and like the wind, he floated across the floor to the edge of my wife's bed. My mind raced. How could I let this dark spirit take her? I reached out at the black cloak, yelling, "Don't take her!" His white bone hand grabbed my wrist and pushed it back. The coldness of death surged through my hand, and I lost the feeling to a numbness of horror that soon took over my body in a wave of ice. That's a long sentence.
I like the numbness of horror, though.
The numbness... I lost feeling to a numbness of horror that soon took over my body in a wave of ice. You can use that if you want.
A wave of
ice.
Ice.
Use it if you want. It's all yours. I looked on, helpless, as death took my wife. I've never completely regained the use of my left hand, the one that was touched by death. But the numbness wore off. Sometimes I wish it hadn't. I feel so empty without her. So why, you may ask, am I telling you this? It's actually a great question.
That's a good question, yeah.
I have seen him again, but this time he has come for me. I noticed him on my way home from the theater. From the theater?
Sure. He said, look, I think that's perfect. He's lost his wife. He's gone out. Is it a movie theater? Do you think it's like the...
No, I almost guarantee you it is not a movie theater. It is a... like alleyway in London backstage theater.
See, well, that's perfect. That sounds exactly like something that, you know, young Brady would be thinking about. Obviously you had a thing with like the Victorian
London. Yeah, definitely. I mean, here you go. I was walking alone back to my house. The street was quiet. The torches that lit the way were out and no moon. Torches that lit the way.
Sure, man. This is Victorian London.
I quickened my pace, and then I felt a cold breeze on my neck. Turning quickly, I saw the blackness of death. I ran as fast as I could, but his hand, His icy cold hand, the hand that delivers death, grabbed my arm. The cold numbness filled me again, but this time I fought against it. Struggling free, I started to run. But where was it safe? Safe from death. The church. It was nearby in... Well, all right. It was nearby in this neighborhood. Like the wind, I sped through the streets. I turned the corner and sprinted up the stairs.
You're using the wind too much as a metaphor. It's like the third time you use the wind as something.
What do you want from me? I don't have these like metaphors in my back pocket that I could just reach to. I have one. The wind.
The wind. Yeah, I mean,
cold, icy wind. I turned the corner and sprinted up the steps. Grabbing the handle of the huge door, I hurled myself inside. Safe. As I leaned against the pew in the front row, I thought about how I could survive in this house of God. I could not live here forever. Yet, outside meant certain death. What to do? After
like,
long
why
hours,
why couldn't he talk to the priest tomorrow?
I don't know. Like, I don't think that he wasn't thinking. Obviously, he just came from the theater. Who knows? All of a sudden, he's running
through
streets.
I guess you're right.
After long hours of prayer, I made my decision. I cannot escape death. He will always be there, waiting. I must not fear the cold that will still burn my flesh. With all of my courage, I walked out of the sanctuary and let death come. I no longer fear his icy hand. Boom.
Dun, dun, dun. So,
drop the mic.
When's he writing this?
What do you mean?
He should have said, in a few moments, I'm going to walk outside. I no longer fear. He's saying, I did already. The time frame's messed up. He should be dead. He can't be
dead.
All right.
I mean, maybe this is. What do you want? So
you clearly need an editor.
All right.
For one.
Well, okay. In sixth grade, it was hard to come by a good editor. Who was I going to ask? You? Huff Mansion?
Hey, Huff Mansion wasn't. I know. Huff Mansion was pretty bad.
Anyway.
Huff Mansion was really bad.
There's a little insight into my psyche, I guess. I thought this was going to be hey, story time for Brian. Let's take a look at some spooky stories that he wrote. But obviously,
I don't know what was going on in your head, man. Two death stories?
It was, you know, Victorian London. You know, we used to watch Jeremy Brett, Sherlock Holmes, like all the time.
It doesn't have death in it.
Yeah, well, it does. People died, it has an air of like, you know, I don't know. I thought it always. Who knows? I like death. I used to draw Grim Reapers all the time. I liked the Grim Reaper as an icon, as a figure.
Really?
Yeah.
This is new to me. I didn't know that.
I used to do that all the time. I used to, I had a ring with the Grim Reaper on
it. Yeah, I remember. No, it was wasn't it just a skull ring?
I had a skull ring, but I had a Grim Reaper ring as well. I think I still have it. I lost the skull ring. That was a long story. But, the Grim Reaper ring, I think I still have, and I have a patch.
When did you lose the skull ring? High school or college?
No, it was after. It was after college. It was at a party.
Did you wear it?
In Montclair. Yeah, it was Halloween.
Oh, okay. I thought you just were, like, generally wearing your skull
ring. No, I would, if I had it, I'd still wear it.
What about your Reaper?
The Reaper one is a little crazy. The skull ring was nice.
It was big. It was like hardcore.
Yeah, it was nice. We got it rice.
This does make sense. You're all into that for some reason. It's not something that was presented outwardly.
It's all coming together.
Head. Yeah.
Anyway.
What's the spooky shotcast for this week?
Well, that's the spooky shotcast for this exactly. I'm Brady.
I'm Brian.
Hold fast.